A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 1, 1985, entitled, The Hereafter, Wishful Thinking? The texts for the sermon are Isaiah 11, verse 1, and 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 and 17. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
In this season of Advent, Peter stated it very well, something special is coming. And as we enter into this season once again, we are reminded that after long centuries of promise, Jesus came and the Word was made flesh. And we are reminded as well that He who came is coming again. In this Advent season, we do not, first of all, begin our focus at Bethlehem, but in the light of Bethlehem, we lift up our eyes to the end. Advent is a season in which we prepare to meet our God who has come to us and is coming to us. And so it is a season in which we are enabled to focus on the future and to think about the end with a capital E. The ultimate questions, the ultimate concerns of our own personal existence, and the ultimate questions about history and the whole cosmic drama. Is this all there is, or is there something more? Is this cosmic drama simply an accident of some kind of physical, chemical, electrical explosion that is playing itself out one day to become simply a cold cinder? In the meantime, with our lives also simply accidents without meaning or purpose, going nowhere? Or has this cosmos had a beginning, and will it have an end? And in the meantime, will our lives also be caught up into that larger purpose, so that we are born and live and die and move into that broader scope of the intention of the Creator? Some of us will have opportunity to reflect on our own death. Some of us will hear the word from the physician who will tell us that there is yet a week or a month or a year. Some of us will have not a moment to reflect on our death that will overtake us suddenly. But all of us will die. And then what? Belief in the hereafter? Wishful thinking? Question mark? That is the subheading of one of the chapters of the book entitled Eternal Life by the Catholic theologian Hans Küng. That book, Eternal Life, with a question mark, is the result of a series of lectures that I heard delivered at the University of Michigan 2 years ago when I went there for a couple of days every week, involved in a seminar with him and taking in those lectures. It was a fascinating experience because there we were in this great academic center, which is known for more than Go Blue football and even basketball that can beat Georgia Tech. This great academic center, where there is one professor, David Noel Freeman, who gives part-time to the program on studies in religion and has a part-time secretary in that huge institution with millions and millions of dollars and thousands of people staffing its structures and its faculty, and thousands of bright students pursuing their studies. There is no department of religion. There is a program on studies in religion. There is a part-time professor and a part-time secretary. That great university gives hardly a token recognition of the whole religious dimension of life. It was in an attempt to change that balance just a bit that Hans Küng was invited, and currently Harvey Cox, another well-known theological professor, is lecturing, and hopefully the program will continue. But the thing that was amazing to me was that in this center, his academic qualifications and credentials are unquestioned. There was a theologian who was unapologetically a theologian, who was speaking to hundreds of bright-eyed students on the question of the hereafter, of eternal life, dealing with subjects like heaven and hell and purgatory and our personal death. And it simply said to me that probably in the wake of the Enlightenment and a century of man coming of age and the sense of control that has sort of filtered down to us, that somehow or other by our science and our technology we can control the whole thing and that we are in charge, that even so, in this last quarter of the 20th century, in the most sophisticated centers of learning, among the most erudite and sophisticated people, our brothers and sisters, there still lurks in the human heart the question, is this all there is? And I will die, and then what? Belief in the hereafter? Wishful thinking? Well, that's sort of the way it has been written off for a long time in the more sophisticated centers of learning. Those who have been in the avant-garde of the philosophical movements who have said that somehow or other we will slough off this need to perpetuate ourselves, this selfish sense of self-preservation, that as the race continues to evolve and to develop, eventually this old throwback to a former day will lessen its grip upon us and we will be able simply to live in the here and now. But it is not so. For we are born and we live and we die. And we are God's creatures, the creatures that are able to reflect upon ourselves and to reflect upon our own death and our own mortality, and somehow or other must come to terms with life and with death. And so, in this Advent season, we realize again that we are the people who have come from the womb of Israel. Israel, who were a people who lived in anticipation of the future that God would create. Israel, with all of its very difficult experience, who nevertheless continued to hold on and to live with hope, who believed that someday there would be a shoot from the stump of Jesse, from David's house. One would come. One would come who would set things right. One would come who would not be caught up in all of the machinations of human politics and rhetoric. One would come who would judge not by what his eyes could see or his ears could hear. One would come who would judge according to justice and righteousness and truth. And you could just about hear the longing and the yearning in a passage like this for that one who would be anointed, who would be a Messiah, anointed with the Spirit of God in order to penetrate through all of the veil and the complexity and the ambiguity and the equivocation of the human scene and set things right. And then peace would come. Then the lion and the lamb could lie down together. Then it would come true, that vision, that longing of the heart of the Hebrew prophet. The day would come when they would no longer hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And Jesus came. Mary had a baby. And in him the kingdom of God did come. But we crucified him, God raising him up. And then in the wake of Easter, a people coming again out of the womb of Israel, a people who interestingly took on the same posture as Israel, a people waiting. Paul expected the heavens to be rent and Jesus the King to appear at any moment. He wasn't right about that. His early exuberance was tempered somewhat in his later writings, but when he went to Thessalonica, one of the first places he preached it with such urgency that the people actually got stiff necks looking up. And then in that congregation, they wrote to him and they said, "Paul, we had a funeral." Now what of that dear one that we have laid to rest? You said Jesus was coming. But our dear one is dead. Has she lost out on that which will be? So Paul had to write and say, "Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, in order that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, those who fall asleep in Jesus, God will bring with him." And then he lifts up our hearts and our eyes to the end, whether it be next week or next month or 2,000 years. But he says the day is coming when this cosmic drama will wind down and this historical play will come to its conclusion and its climax. The day will come when the archangel will shout and the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and the Lord Jesus will come bringing with him those who have fallen asleep, and we shall join them and meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be together with the Lord. So he says, don't worry about your loved one. Comfort one another with these words. Belief in the hereafter. Wishful thinking. No, the wishful thinking of the human heart is a sign of a deep intuition within us that this is not all there is. And so we live with anticipation, not dread. And we bury our dead, grieving, but not in hopeless futility. And we have that with which to comfort one another in the midst of our sorrow, because we are essentially a people of hope that are looking for the day when the heavens will be rent and Jesus will come, when the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, when we will be caught up to meet him in the air and join all of the heavenly hosts and all of God's children singing hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And this is a sign to you in this time between the times. He who has come is he who is coming and who comes to us in bread and in wine, giving us food and drink for the journey. as we go on our way praying, even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Thanks be to God. This is not all there is. The best is yet to be.